The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
Good morning. Good Saturday morning to all of you out there. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ, the number one rated show at 7 o'clock on Saturday mornings on WWNC in Buncombe County. Anyway, I'm flanked once again by Alice Wessel, who manages our office, and Rob Simon, who's an analyst with us. And we have a new face this morning. We're going to be having our sounds mixed by Agnes, I guess. Now I understand why Matt is such a happy guy.
Well, it's nice to be here.
Good morning, Agnes.
Good morning.
So we are going to discuss a number of issues this morning. Hopefully we can get through the mailbag pretty well. Alice, I know that we had a few questions this week. Can you start us off with one of them, please?
Sure thing. Good morning, everyone. We have a question that a lady emailed us with, and her question is this. We have a three-year-old daughter, and I now earn enough that I am considering setting some money aside for her. At a recent insurance review, our insurance agent suggested we invest in a whole life policy for her. Do you think this would be a good long-term investment?
Well, first of all, I would say that I'm not a fan of investing in life insurance in general. And I'm no fan of whole life insurance specifically. But the issue is really much more basic than that. In the course of rendering financial planning advice at our office, I have run into a number of well-meaning couples who have dutifully purchased individual life insurance policies, not only on their lives, but on each of their children as well. So I hate to hammer people with respect to insurance principles right off the bat when I meet them. So to kind of soften things up, I usually start out by saying or asking, why have you chosen to insure your children's lives? Just to get them thinking about the concepts that underlie the whole premise of purchasing life insurance. And along those lines, the responses that I usually get are, well, my husband and I love each other, and we have life insurance on our lives, so it only seems right that we insure our children as well. So then I pose the following question. If your children were to die today, you would certainly be emotionally devastated, but really, would you suffer financially? At that point, couples will generally realize that on net balance, their children are what we call in the financial industry economic liabilities. They love their children, but when they really get down to it, they realize that they're not economic assets, they're economic liabilities. So there's a lesson involved here when you're considering insuring the life of your child. An overarching principle in the insurance industry is that you would really only seek to insure economic assets, not economic liabilities. So if one is interested in being reimbursed for the cost of burying a child, you can very simply add a rider to a policy that you already have. You probably don't need to go out and purchase an additional life insurance policy just on that child, him or herself.
So, well, what about the aspect of buying a whole life policy as an investment? After all, they do build up cash value within the policy.
Right. So that's a key point. The cash value builds within the policy. If the child does die while the policy is in force, the investment is lost, however, because it's part of the policy. So let's just take a moment and discuss what a whole life policy really is. If a parent goes out and purchases a $10,000 whole life policy, let's say that parent pays premiums for 15 or 20 years, and at that point there's $2,000 of cash value that resides within that policy. At that point, the insurer would only be at risk for the difference of $8,000. That is, as those premiums continue to be paid, the amount of actual insurance that the insurer is at risk for declines every year. So if that child were to happen to die, you certainly would receive the $10,000 proceeds, but that would include the $2,000 that you had set aside within that policy as your investment, your cash value, which brings us really to another point. Because whole life policies have level premiums, some people buy these policies to lock in the cost, as they believe. The fact of the matter is that the true cost of all life insurance rises over time. Why would that be? Simply because you're closer to death. So it's completely irrelevant that the insurance company doesn't know when you're going to die. It's completely irrelevant that you don't know when you're going to die. But the fact of the matter is that as you draw nearer to your eventual death, the mortality experience goes up for the insurance company as a whole. More people will simply start to die. So you don't be misled into thinking that a level premium necessarily equates with a level cost. Those two concepts in the insurance industry can be completely divorced. Here's another fact for you. Even though whole life policies sport premiums that don't rise, the cost of owning the policy does rise over time. So how is that? Let me just rephrase this again, because it's an important point that I want you to understand. The cash value within the policy increases each year, but the cash value is typically part of the death benefit. So again, the amount that the insurer is at risk for declines every year. And if you were to own that policy to age, let's say 100, typically when the policy matures, if the insured were to die at that point, that check for $10,000, what would it be? It would be 100% your own money. At that point, there would be no insurance and you would be completely self-insured. So a level premium and a declining amount at risk by the insurer usually equates to a rising cost. So if you have any doubts about that, what you can do is simply put this question to your life insurance agent. Ask to see what's called the net payment index or the net surrender, or I think it's called the surrender cost index. These are two cost indexes that I believe it's the FTC makes the insurance industry put forth to show the true cost. And there you'll very clearly see that level premium is really just nothing more than a level premium. The cost is rising every single year. So better choices as investments would certainly exist for someone considering a whole life policy for a child. 529 plans, college savings plans as they're known, would be a much better choice. It's tax deferred. Education IRAs, sometimes called Coverdell IRAs, UTMA accounts, certain savings bonds, just sticking the money in a mutual fund. Anything, in my view, would probably be better. So that takes us to the end of this segment. I'm here with Alice Wessel and Rob Simon. Haven't heard you yet this morning. Rob, you there?
Yep. I'm here.
We'll be back in just a moment. Thanks for joining us this morning.
Somebody's gonna hurt you like you hurt me.